You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning, everyone. I used to get puzzles at Christmas.
Yeah, me too.
And I remember that labyrinth one, you know, and I would try to go all the way through it, and then I would try to do it again. And in the end, we would keep track of streaks, how many times we could do it. And it was actually kind of a high wire act.
In my house, it's Scrabble games.
Yeah.
We keep track of those for decades.
I bet, yeah.
Who's ahead? Who's behind? Yeah.
What's your streak if you're keeping score this day after Christmas? 8778 My Take. The Celtics had a 19-1 record going until the Lakers stomped on them. At mytakeatthetakeaway.org, let us know what your favorite streak is.
As we look back at 2008, some might say that it was the year of the donkey. Democrats swept the House, the Senate, and the presidency. But with the economy in shambles and two wars still being waged in Afghanistan and Iraq, what the next year looks like, what will the next year look like for progressives? For that, we turn to Christopher Hayes, the Washington editor for The Nation and a fellow at the New America Foundation, for his thoughts. Welcome, Christopher.
Thanks for having me.
We've seen lots of words describing Barack Obama's action so far as pragmatic, and that's something you take an issue with. Explain.
Well, I think there's a good meaning of pragmatic, and I can sort of elaborate on that. But what's frustrated me is that I think the word has become a kind of cipher whereby the defenders of the status quo have kind of seized on it, and the coded meaning of it is essentially he won't rock the boat, he won't challenge the wise old men of Washington, and don't worry too much, he's going to fit right in with this kind of permanent governing class and establishment. And I think that's dangerous, because I think the permanent governing class and the establishment are a huge reason that we're in the mess we're in now.
Well, what about Obama's definition itself? He has said pragmatism to him means not deferring to one ideology or the other for the sake of it.
Yeah, for the sake of it, I guess, is the crucial phrase there. I think that there's two ways of understanding pragmatism. The bad way of understanding pragmatism, and the way that I think it's understood here in Washington, is people who are, quote, non-ideological, who don't have an ideology. And I think that's actually just self-delusional. I mean, everybody has some set of principles and values and a worldview out of which they operate. The other way of understanding pragmatism is to be aware of one's own worldviews and principles and ideology and try to operate with a kind of radical open-mindedness. Now, that, I think, is salutary, and I think particularly after a very closed-minded, faith-based presidency we've had for the last 8 years, is a virtue, if that can be developed. But it's very different than having some sort of conception of oneself as being somehow outside of ideology, which I think is very dangerous.
Well, what is the ideology then that is you can extrapolate from, say, the appointment of Rahm Emanuel, a very clear establishment Clintonian, and the keeping of Gates in the Pentagon, a sort of a continuity approach to one of the most controversial issues in modern American history, the Iraq War?
Yeah, I think that it's important to sort of separate what they're kind of what from the perspective of the Obama people are kind of instrumental tactical moves and what their strategic ends are. And that's the big question everyone's wondering. If Robert Gates is, you know, deftly employed so as to bring the Iraq War to a close, then I think, you know, people would be happy with that. If he's used as a mechanism to continue the occupation, then people won't be. I will say that I think, you know, look, the president of the country is generally going to fit into the ideological space relatively close to both the center of the country and certainly the center of his party. And I think that's true of Barack Obama. He's essentially in the center of the Democratic Party ideologically. And I don't think that's necessarily surprising. I mean, the mechanisms by which someone gets elected president, push towards the center as a kind of definitional matter.
And that's not necessarily a bad thing. In fact, if you look at our Constitution and the way the Founding Fathers set things up, the idea was to sort of reach that middle that is acceptable to the most number of people. But let's talk about some of the other people that he has selected and hope will become his nominees for cabinet positions. When you take a look at all of those people, John mentioned two, but then there's Bill Richardson and there's Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State. Does that say to you that he has left progressivism behind?
No, I wouldn't. I think that's it. That would be an overstatement. I don't. You know.
What are you talking about? If we're going to have a redux of the Clinton era, that's not a disaster for progressives.
Well, no. I mean, the point is that what constitutes a redux, right? The question is the redux personnel or is the redux policy? And as seeing as how he hasn't governed for a single day yet, it seems a touch premature to draw the conclusion that we are seeing a full-fledged redux. I mean, you know, there is a mix of people who are, you know, associated with the Clintonites, and there are some new people. Look, like I said before, I mean, when, you know, let's remember when George Bush came in, he chose a lot of people from the Ford administration. And the Bush administration, I think we can all agree, did not particularly resemble the Ford administration.
It sure didn't.
So you know, you can read too much in. You could say, oh, Donald Rumsfeld's back and Dick Cheney's back and all the Fordies are back. They're totally going to launch a preemptive war against Iraq. Well, no one thought that because, you know.
It's a good answer, Christopher, I have to say, because it felt like you were pulling your punches and trying to get a cabinet position in the Obama administration for a moment. But that's actually a good answer.
That's out of the question.
But what's your measurement then? As Barack Obama continues to make news, as he prepares to take office, as he begins governing, how are you going to be measuring what he's doing and who he's appointing to do those things?
Look, here's my point. I mean, one way of conceiving of this relationship is an interest group relationship, right? Which is that progressives are an interest group and they want to see some degree of representation. And that's actually true, and that's perfectly fine, and that's the way politics work. The much more important thing is substantive outcomes. I mean, what I want to see is us avoid a Great Depression, avoid widespread immiseration of the populace, avoid massive job loss, skyrocketing unemployment, the continuation in perpetuity
skyrocketing
of
foreclosures, more uninsured.
Yeah, though, so the metrics have much more to do with the actual outcomes and, you know, life experience of the populace than they have to do with who is sitting in what position. Who is sitting in what position right now are perhaps the best we can do as indications of the direction he will take policy, but that's only because we don't have any kind of substantive governing agenda to judge yet.
So then the only way you're going to be able to judge him is 4 years from now and what the end results are for the policies that he's instituted.
Well, no, I mean, there's going to be legislation presumably passed in the interim, right? I mean, there's going to be a stimulus package. That stimulus package will...
Yeah, but they can pass them. But the question is, if you're saying it's about results, then we're not going to know for some significant period of time. I mean, clearly the economy is in trouble. It's not going to change overnight.
No, it's not. And look, I mean, that's, you know, ultimately the kind of ultimate accountability is going to be 4 years from now in the re-election. But
well, let's talk legislation then. Do you support an essentially a nationalized infrastructure program for development of comprehensive, you know, repairs and building all over the United States, or leave it to the private sector?
Oh, absolutely the former. I mean, I think that there's been, well, first of all, there's been tremendous underinvestment by the private sector and a real kind of misallocation of investment dollars. I think that is something that's become apparent in the wake of the housing bubble. What we have done is built a lot of McMansions and cornfields, and what we haven't done is build the kind of broadband infrastructure we need, et cetera. So I think there's a huge role for public investment of basic infrastructure, both physical infrastructure, high-speed rail, broadband, et cetera. And I think that, you know, they're moving in that direction. I think there's actually a sort of heartening consensus that's beginning to form around those kinds of expenditures.
But you also acknowledge that the events of the day may overshadow the ability of the administration to come up with those kind of priorities when you first have to deal with something like the economy and two wars.
Well, sure. I mean, I'm not quite sure what specifically you mean. I mean, I think that it's generally true that at this point, in a way that I don't think has necessarily been paralleled in years, with perhaps the exception of the aftermath of 9/11, I think events are driving policy in a way, particularly on the domestic front,
right,
that we haven't seen in a long time. And and basically what we have seen since September is a very ad hoc and reactive approach, which I think has produced a lot of really bad policy. I mean, so what you do want to see is everyone in Washington be more proactive in the way that they're going to approach economic recovery.
Christopher Hayes, thank you. Christopher Hayes is the Washington editor for The Nation and a fellow at the New America Foundation.
So it's all about a streak. If Obama can maintain a streak, a re-election streak, that's the accountability.
Well, a streak of good policies in Christopher's mind.
Well, we're talking about streaks. 877-8-MY-TAKE or MyTAKE at thetakeaway.org. What's your favorite one? I think the Detroit winless streak in the NFL, the Detroit
Lions. That's
not a good
one, though. That's a tragedy.
Negative
one. That's just a tragedy.
Here's one of our listeners.
My favorite streak in my life was the streak I counted of days I went without having a cigarette.
That's a good one.
Was the way I quit smoking.
That's a good one.
Not bad.
A very healthy streak for you in 2009. Maybe some of our listeners should be thinking about that.
Call or some of our, 877-8-MY-TAKE. My take at takeaway.org.
You can email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org or call us toll-free at 877-8-MY-TAKE.
869-8253.